Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Snap by Tyler Yazian's there. Kick is up by Sam Thicken, and the kick is good, and the Nittany Lions are on the board first. And for the Nittany Lions, the fourth time this year in 10 games, they have scored on their opening drive. Snaps it to Chris Gula. Put down. The kick is on its way. The kick by Sam Thicken is good! The Nittany Lions close the half with the lead. Give the ball to Lynch through the hole. 35. Stiff arm. 30. 25. Lynch 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown! Penn State, the Nittany Lions take the lead. Belton alone setback. Motion toward us by Hamilton. Belton up the middle to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions cash in the Amos interception and have the 2-touchdown lead. Wartman blitzes. Back goes Walker. Wartman after throws. Intercepted. Haley. 20, 15, 10. Haley to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. And the defense puts its points on the board. Good snap. Put down. Kick is up. Kick by Sam Thicken is good. And the Nittany Lions have that 3-score lead. 30-13, Penn State with 10:36 to go.
That was the call yesterday from, or excuse me, on Saturday from Steve Jones on the Penn State Sports Network. Nittany Lions will be in action again this weekend. 10:30 is the tailgate show, kickoff at noon. By the way, the Michigan State game time has been announced. The final home game for Senior Day at Beaver Stadium will be on next Saturday at 3:30 kickoff, so the airtime will be at 2 o'clock. So we'll have Steve Jones from the Sunbury Motor Studio here in just a few minutes. Today's show sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Find out what they can do for you with life, auto, business insurance. Find out all the details at purdyinsurance.com or visit them on Market Street in Sunbury. Coach Dave Paulson of the Bucknell Bison joining us here on the pregame as they get ready, or excuse me, joining us here on the show as he gets ready for his pregame on the road in Michigan. First, I have to ask you, how much snow is actually on the ground right now in Ann Arbor?
Well, there's probably a couple inches. It's not that bad. You can... The grass is covered, but you can still see the leaves a little bit.
So. Oh, well, that's not so bad.
No, it's not so bad, but I think in certain parts of upper Michigan where Chris Haas and Corey Starkey are from, they said they had 6 or 7 inches up there.
Well, so, yeah, that was going to say this
a
is
a lot colder than it is in Lewisburg, I can tell you that much.
Well, that's what I was going to say. This is kind of a interesting setup because you get a chance to get close to some of these guys' homes. And what kind of, you know, what kind of response are they getting from the families?
Well, it's great. You know, I mean, one of the things that we try to do is bring all of our guys as close to home as we can. And this game was a long time in the making, trying to get, you know, get Michigan on the schedule for Corey Starkey, who's a senior, and Chris Hodge, who's a junior. And they've taken up the vast majority of our allotment of tickets, which is great because there's so many family and friends there. And then later in the year, we're going to go to Wake Forest, and that's close to where Josh A. Singleton grew up. And, you know, in years past, we played at Vanderbilt, which was as close as we could get for Stephen Casper, who's from Memphis, and been in Minnesota when Mike Moscow was there. So we try really hard. Our next big trip, we're going to try to get out to Texas. DJ McClay and John Azanero are Texas natives. So we try to do that as much as possible.
And you get into what Chrysler Center to play there. I'll give them credit, Dave. They have really done a great job with that arena. You can tell they poured $90 million into it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was a grad assistant for Steve Fisher at Michigan in 89-90. And yeah. When I was at Cleveland State, we played at Michigan maybe 91 and 92, and that was the last time I was back in Ann Arbor. And we were there for the shoot-around today, and it is a beautiful facility. It is. It doesn't look anything like what I remember Chrysler Arena. And then we walked in and saw the practice facility, and They've made some improvements around the football stadium. The place doesn't look anything like what I remember. Obviously, it's been 20-some years. But that's, I would say, in all the places I've played now since I've been at Bucknell, this is as nice, if not nicer, than any other place we've been in.
Let's talk a little bit about personnel on that side. Karis LeVert is a guy I thought was one of the more improved players in the Big Ten last year. What kind of tough handle can he be for any team?
Well, he's really good. Can shoot the three and get to the rim. He has a really good pull-up game. And then if you try to, like, commit two guys, they set so many high ball screens for all their players. He's such a good passer. In their exhibition game and then in their home opener, in those two games, he has 16 assists and zero turnovers as a 6'7" guard. So he's a handful. And, he can spray the ball out to a lot of really good shooters who are spread out on the perimeter.
Overall, what are some things that your team will have to keep in mind in the confines of this place against this team that you'll remind them of as the game goes?
Well, I think one is you can't let them go on a big run. They're really, right, really explosive. You know, and it's different to watch Michigan, you know, casually to pick up maybe some of the things that John Beilein does offensively. You know, he's a mastermind. And then... Yeah. Different to then prepare to play Michigan. And so the thing that I was struck with, you knew how good they were offensively and how sophisticated, but they are much more athletic than I had realized. They get out and transition really, really well. So they run at a much higher rate than either they had in the past or what I was aware of. And they're playing with a more aggressive style defensively. So we have to really take care of the ball, doesn't lead to runouts, and we got to really limit their transition baskets.
I mean, you've had players that have played in this kind of deal before, so obviously that makes it a little bit easier for you to look at guys and say, okay, what about a couple of the younger players? What do you want them to keep in mind so that as you go 4x4x4 that you're in good shape with them?
Well, that's the whole key, like finding that balance. You want these guys to believe that they're every bit as good as the guys from Michigan and play with a certain level of confidence. And you want them to be aware that, you know, to be honest with you, you're not quite as good as these guys from Michigan, and you gotta, right, you gotta play with a little more caution. That's a fine line of knowing when to be aggressive and confident and when to be maybe a little bit more deliberate. Maybe you turn down a shot that maybe you would have taken at home against Marist, knowing that too many quick shots can lead to runouts and alley-oop dunks and spot-up threes and get the fans in Chrysler riled up and make for a long evening. So that's a delicate blend. You know, we don't want our guys to play back on their heels, but we don't want them to play recklessly either.
Do you try to win each media timeout, or do you stay away from that because it makes them feel like they're underdogs?
No, you know what? That's something, Steve, that we talk about all the time anyway. Any game, we say the game's made up of 10 four-minute rounds, and we want to win each round. And, you know, it's the same thing we said is a media timeout when we played Marist on Friday. It's the same thing we'll say, win this round. You know, so whether you're up by 7 or 9 or 11, you're down by 13, you know, if you're down by 13, hey, just win this next round. And that's something that we really stress. When we scrimmage, we play everything in four-minute rounds, and we break the game up that way for that very reason, so it's not like a drastic change when we're playing a Michigan.
Okay, you win the game over Marist. What did you like out of that, Dave, for example? And they were able to win a game by 3 points, so what did you say?
Well, what I liked was, Marist played a lot of zone, and we don't see a lot of zone. They switched a lot of things up. We got really, really good looks, and we missed them. We had maybe two guys who I thought would be potential candidates to lead us in scoring, and Chris Haas and Nana Fowland, and they combined were 3 for 16. And yet we found five guys to score in double figures. We kept our resilience. We kept our poise. So I thought that was a real positive. I thought we defended really, really, really well. And then Marist had two guys who hit as tough a shot as anyone has hit on us consistently over 40 minutes. So we stayed the course. And then obviously areas of improvement, finding ways to just sustain defensive intensity a little bit longer, and then just tightening up our offensive execution.
How'd you feel about Dom Hoffman on opening night?
Well, he played great. You know, he led us in scoring. He rebounded exceptionally well. And, you know, Dom's always a guy who's been able to shoot and pass and facilitate. He hasn't always been terrific on the glass, and he hasn't always been terrific defensively. He led us in rebounding, and then with 5 minutes to go, a tie game, he took a key charge, and we went on a 6-0 run from there. And so he did some things that he hasn't previously done, and that bodes well for our entire team.
Dave, good luck tonight. Enjoy the students in back of you. They're always a blast. And I hope everything goes really well today. Best of luck.
All right, thank you.
Hey, Dave Paulson with us, joining us from, I assume he's joining us from Ypsilanti, right?
Yeah, in that general vicinity, yeah.
So, I mean, if they're staying where I think they should be staying, they should be in Ypsilanti.
I would take your word for it on that.
Well, that's where the Marriott is. I mean, it's, you know, it's 5 miles from the arena.
I just know that he said there was a little snow, but not as much as there is in the UP.
My son moved to Rochester, moved there in July.
Yep.
He sent me a text this morning with a photo, 6 to 8 inches of snow in Rochester today.
And he's ready to move right back.
Yes. Got a little cold.
Yes. Yes, I did. It was my gift from New England, so I'd like to thank New England very much for that.
Wow.
Actually, I probably, okay. Technically, I probably had it before I got there, but about halftime.
About halftime you got it?
About halftime I started to feel that and lost the feeling in my feet. So, you know, it was kind of a give and take there.
Maybe you should start wearing socks.
Well, you know, I thought about bringing my hunting boots, but I was thinking, you know, I'm going to be doing an awful lot of walking, even more than I do hunting. So I thought I'd wear sneakers, and no, it didn't work out so well.
They won in overtime, though, right?
Yes, third straight game in overtime, and it is the third college football team in history to play 3 consecutive overtime games. How's that for a stat?
Tremendous. All right, that's great.
It was a good win because Bucknell had not won up there in short of forever.
I think that what they've done is tremendous. By the way, I'll give you a stat. Penn State's number one in the nation in rush defense.
Right.
Number one in the nation in pass efficiency defense. And that's the two you want to be number one in. Not pass yards, but pass efficiency. The number one in each. Bob Shoup and I had a little talk about this yesterday. We'll talk to Joe Sousa next half hour. Find out why Kevin is so cold. By the way, as you drive today, be careful tonight. It's been raining hard, a lot of ponding puddles. We're going to get to 18 degrees. It's going to freeze up. So please take your time. Remember, it's going to be 18 tonight, and all this water is going to be frozen.
Never before in the annals of Kia history have we been able to offer you 0%
APR for up to 75 months, that is.
Sunbury Motors Kia.
Yeah,
0% APR financing is available for the month of November on all 2014, 2015 Optima and Optima hybrids. And they start at $21,550 with payments of $288 per month.
But we're just getting started.
We also have 0% APR for up to 75 months on the 2015 Serrano, starting at $24,163 with payments of $322 per month. And there's more, like 0% APR for up to 60 months on 2014 Forte Coupes. And all new Kias are marked down to sell and all come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf
or at sunburymotors.com
and see how much vehicle 0% buys you.
Tax and tax extra. Special financing through Kia Motor Finance to well-qualified buyers. See dealer for details.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone back. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Joined by the head football coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan. Joe, great to have you with us. How many overtime rabbits can one pull out of the old hat?
I'm not sure it's a hat we're pulling him out of, but, you know, it's interesting when you look back at your career. Really, I only had two previous overtimes over 37 years. You know, and obviously it kicked in the mid-90s, but one was a one-shot deal. And then the other one, actually, when I was a head coach at Davidson, we went into triple overtime and won on defense like we did this past weekend. The other thing that's unique about all three of these is they all started out at 24-24, which that's pretty interesting. And, you know, it was funny at the end of this one, I just turned to Matt Borch, our defensive coordinator. I said, we just won because the kids didn't, you know, crowd or anything. You know, it's they're used to this by now, and you know, it's almost like a relief, and instead of the emotional high you get after winning a game. And hopefully, we've put our share of overtimes to the overtime gods of football, and we can get on. I told Dan Hunt, the head coach at Colgate, we're going to just start this game in overtime.
Yeah,
it'll be over soon.
Yeah,
maybe
put that ball in the 25 and then go from there.
Let it roll.
You have the 24-hour rule, and when you look at the heartbreak of the week before, you want to see a response, and the response has to be mentally. What did your kids tell you as to how they responded all weekend in this game?
You know, it started out with our first meeting Sunday night. They were positive at the meeting. And you know, obviously sometimes meetings can belie actions, but when they came out on the field Tuesday, Tuesday's really our best day because we start a little bit later and we don't have any conflicts between late classes and night classes, so we have everybody there. And they flew around, and it carried through the week. When you go out on Thursdays, we go out in spiders, sometimes the tempo is something you're concerned about because anytime you take pads off, it could be a mindset, well, this is just a glorified walkthrough. And they were right. They were really good Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And they travel well. We break up the trip. It's a roughly about a seven-hour trip. We break it up midway. We have practice at a high school field, which they do a very good job of accommodating us. And There was one teaching opportunity there where a freshman linebacker pointed up in the air and goes, "Coach, that's a bald eagle." I said, you should be focused on a walkthrough, not on any bald eagles." And there was actually a bald eagle flying around the practice field, which is pretty unique to see. But I told him the bald eagle's only trying to distract you, and he got right back to work. But you know, it's the nature of college football. You travel. When you travel, you have a little bit tighter a travel party, and it's hard to beat a team at home. They got better as their season went on. They had some injury issues that and some youth that were clarified by this. It was their senior day, which I know it means a lot to their seniors and to their coaching staff.
Matt Del Moro certainly was able to get himself a weekly award from the Patriot League. He went over 1,000 career yards. And also you had Colin Jonoff as well getting cited this week. I mean, what did those two guys mean in your team concept?
Well, Matt has really been a very productive component of what we do offensively. And to be able to ride him like we did, I think it's a tribute to him. Obviously, everybody, especially running backs, this time of year beat up. And we made a decision within the early part of the game that we were going to go with him, period. And very productive runner, very strong. And they gave him a trophy there as the MVP of the game that's almost bigger than him. He had no idea what to do with it as he's coming into the locker room. A couple of the offensive linemen wanted to break off pieces. One, you know, Julian Davenport wanted an arm. Remy Cassette wanted a leg. But he has done everything we've asked. And then some. You know, he's a great student, a great student of the game. And sometimes it's difficult to be the second. And he had been the second behind CJ, but he is such an intelligent kid and a even-tempered kid that it was great to see him do some things, both run and pass. The screen that he broke, number one, is well blocked. Treylaw Letta made a good play on it, and you know that really, when you get chunk yardage, it takes away snaps that you don't want to take. You know, in a drive, those 15, 20 play drives, somewhere there's an unmanageable third down, and if you could make up some of that yardage with chunks. And then Colin Jonoff really showed us in preseason that he had the ability to be our starter at corner. And what's unique is that he went through a pretty serious injury that
right.
kept him down. And the thing that you wind up missing is you wind up missing all that fundamental practice where he basically missed a spring within the season. And for him to come back and, you know, he was a little down after what happened at the end of the Fordham game. He got beat on a double move. But I brought him into my office and I said, at your position, you have to have a thick skin and a short memory. It's obvious that he did. He really played well, and he is uniquely fast and has a very good sense for the ball. And that combination, as he improves, he's going to be a very good corner on this team and in this league.
You have to have a short memory at that spot. You have to.
You do. They're playing too. The opponent's playing, and there's good players.
Give me an idea, Trey LaLetta and the maturity he has shown you. What has that meant to the development of your football team?
He impresses me more and more each day because the kid actually takes a beating, and he broke his knee brace again, which he's going to do every week, I guess. So we should just have a couple extra ready for him to go. Not the most fluid of sliders. I don't think our baseball team would want him to come out and instruct.
Yeah.
But Trey has an insight into the game, and it's a combination of his experience as a quarterback, but also his intelligence as a person beyond book intelligent. He is world smart, and that helps him. There was one play, the first play of the fourth quarter, where we're on the 5-yard line, and I gave him the option, and one of them was a quarterback keep. And he took the quarterback keep. He says, yeah, I got a run left in me. And he actually should have given the ball based on the read that we're making, but he didn't, and he got it into the end zone, and that's all that counts. He smart with the football, not going to take chances that he shouldn't. And then, you know, some of the catches Jake Hardman made for him, he has such confidence in Jake that, you know, we as coaches always analyze ourselves, and one of the things that I would criticize me in is that why weren't we putting Jake on the outside earlier in the season? But Jake's hard to cover. He made a couple catches in that game that I feel, well, I don't feel sorry for the opponent's corners, believe me, but the kid, great coverage, and the corner has no chance. And that's part of being 6'2", 230 pounds.
Now, do you do check with me as to how? So he has that. He has that option to read safeties as to what they might and might not do, and he can go and from a pass to a run if he needs to.
A lot of our run game has it built in, and then he has some flexibility. Most of it is run pass. All right. Some of it is pass run, but he also has the ability, if he needs to totally change the play. And we don't do that much because we right. feel we know the looks as they relate to our personnel groups. And then even within a pass concept, he has reads related to coverage that he makes the right decisions on. And that's so important. You know, if you got a quarterback coming off on the sideline and says, "Well, I thought it was cover three," that's not a good thing, especially if you're thrown to a guy with another colored shirt on. But he's been very good with that, and he things like at the end of the first quarter, which we were playing against the wind, I just gave him a signal that he knew that we wanted him to just hold the team in the huddle until he called the play so that we could boil it down to where we got the win in the early part of the second quarter.
Right.
And those are things, you know, the nonverbal communication, and to have a young man come to me and say, "What are you thinking?" And then I say, "Well, what do you like?" And that is what you have when you have a player that knows the game. And you know, I'm so happy for him that it's worked out this way, and obviously happy for the team that he's worked out this way. The young men on our team in all three phases have ultimate confidence in what he can do and what he does, and he'll be a success in whatever he does, and it won't be a success by chance. It'll be a success by design and by hard work.
1 o'clock is the finale in Mathewson on Saturday against Colgate. So give me a thumbnail on them, Joe, as you've gone through the DVDs.
As in all the other teams in this league, they've had some injury issues that have impacted their team, but they are very similar to Holy Cross on defense. They are very similar to Georgetown on defense. They try to keep everything in front of them. They're well coached. Offensively, they're playing with their second level quarterback. Their first quarterback had a illness that took place about 5 weeks ago, and we're not sure whether he'll be back. The first quarterback's a very good player. The second quarterback's second for a reason, but they're the traditional ride and read offensively, and they pose some threats there. You have to be right, especially with a running quarterback, as we saw with Pujols on Saturday. He is one heck of a player. But the thing that Dan Hunt has done is, you know, he's carried on Dick Biddle's approach about smash-mouth football offensively and sound defensively, and that what that does is it keeps them in games. And, they don't turn the ball over. Two of our turnovers Saturday were on special teams, which One was where a rugby punt kind of ran up the back of one of our flyers, which that's hard. You know, it's hard because the young man had no idea where the ball was and hit him in the back. And then another was a fumble that we've got to do. Obviously, I'll say this, anytime we have any turnovers, we've got to do a better job with the ball. And if we do, it's our senior day. It's the seniors' last home game at Christie.
That's about it.
And special thing, you know, it's I said this at a luncheon the other day. As a coach, you get used to looking at guys in uniform and say, boy, I'm glad he's here. Boy, I'm glad he's here. And then when you look at them on Saturday, you're going to say, this is the last time for a lot of these guys in football uniforms, and I'm glad he was here. And then we move along. It's the, you know, it's progression that you get emotional about it. I do. I think being a male and being emotional is an advantage. But it's the rite of passage that these young men have, and there's no holding them back, obviously. I wish we could.
Yeah, sure. Right.
You get endeared to these guys, and then all of a sudden they take a step away from you. But the unique thing is that, and this goes through a lot of years in this profession, is they stay in touch. And like 2 or 3 years out, they say, now I really understand what you were talking about. And I say, right. But that's how your children are. You know, your children find out that you as parents learn a lot while they're in college.
No question. Well said. That was going to be my last question anyway. It was about it being senior day, but I think we've taken care of that very, very nicely.
Can I say hello to my bride? I know she's listening. I reminded her. She usually forgets that I'm on the radio. She actually wants to hear Kevin more than she wants to hear me.
I can understand that, too. You know.
And based hello, on Cynthia. That double... Cynthia, hello, and thank you for doubling our ratings.
Yes, she just did. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the time I've spent with you, and anytime you need me, I'm here.
Thanks, Coach.
Joe,
thanks.
Enjoyed it very much, Joe. Thank you, and Cynthia, thanks so much. You're welcome. We will come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Happy Monday to you. Great to have you with us. And again, please be careful as you drive out there. We're in the mid-30s right now at 36, 37 degrees. Temperature's going to drop down to 18, and we've had rain across the area today. And with it dropping down to 18, that means all of that standing water is going to freeze. So just be careful as you drive around this evening. Kevin went to New England, got sick.
Yeah, it was not the weekend in New England that Barry Manilow promised me in song. I can tell you that. But at least Bucknell won.
Yes, they won the game. For Penn State, they are playing right now. They played really well on Saturday, obviously. All-around effort. We know Christian Hackenberg, the passing game is struggling a bit right now, but I would hope at this point he can relax a little bit. He doesn't have to make every play on the planet, because the guy I see practice was different than the guy I saw play the game on Saturday. But the running game was there, and Akeel Lynch, again, finishes runs. He really drives through on a run, which is really important. And he had 130 yards, a career high. That's his third career 100-yard rushing game. Bill Belton had a big game as well. I think he had 92. Defensively, 5 takeaways. Austin Johnson had a fumble recovery. Christian Campbell, Grant Haley, Adrian Amos, and Jesse Della Valle all had interceptions. And I pulled Amos aside yesterday when I was talking to him. And I said, Adrian, when you were a freshman, and he's in his fourth year now, said, you were standing on the loading dock, and I knew at that point Tom Bradley was going to play him on defense. You could just tell. Tom Bradley was going to play him. I said, I keep hearing everybody call you Amos all the time. I said, is it Amos or Amos? He goes, it's Amos. I said, like famous Amos cookies? He goes, yeah. I said, well, why does everybody call you Amos? He says, I don't know. So that's why I've always called him Amos, and the rest of the world has called him Amos. I have no idea. I asked him. He told me it was Amos. So yesterday I said, look, I said, let me ask one more time. I said, it's been 4 years since I asked you this question. He goes, Steve, you had it right the whole time. It's been Amos. He said, why do they call you Amos? He says, because I think when they yell, it comes out that way. I said, well, everybody in the media calls you Amos. He says, no. He says, not right. So, if you're talking to your friends and you mention Adrian Amos, it's Amos. It's not Amos.
You know, you just change the accent mark sometimes, and well, it gives right. you a new reputation, maybe.
Just like it's Kevin Herr.
Right. You can't really change the accent mark on one syllable.
Herr.
It was Burr over the weekend.
Hey, how about Sealands Grove, huh? 6-2? Really?
A defensive struggle is an understatement.
Yeah, but they won.
Yeah, I'm just saying. To say that game was a defensive struggle is an understatement.
Hey, they're moving on.
Somerset Friday night on the road at Richland High School in Johnstown, next to the University of Pitt Johnstown campus.
UPJ. Yeah, that's your reward.
2.5-hour drive where the team you play only drives a half an hour.
You got to go to Jack Hamland. Johnstown.